Take your Bibles this morning, please. Turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I enjoyed that choir song, didn't you? That is a great song. All the music's been good today. Thank the Lord for it. I love the music program. I love it so much I can't wait to get it out of the way so I can preach. Preaching is the main thing. Not just because I'm doing it, but no matter who's doing it. The preaching of the Word. We need the Word of God. All right, Mark chapter 5 for the message this morning. And I want you to follow very carefully as I read the scriptures this morning. And also keep your Bible open. We're going to refer back to the text verses that I'm reading today. And I want to point out something that is a little, as I read this this week, it kind of stood out to me a little bit, and I thought on it, and thus is where the message came from. But let me read the text to you, starting in verse 25. And this is an incident that happened early in the life of the Lord Jesus. If you go back earlier in the chapter, you will see that the Lord had been on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and there that man was the demons were cast out, the maniac of Gadara, and then the Lord got into a ship. If you look at verse 18, it says, "And when he was come into the ship," so he got into a ship and he sailed over to the cities around the northern end of the Sea of Galilee. So you see in verse 20, there is a name, Decapolis. Deca means 10. And there were these 10 little Roman cities that were built around the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee, and they, rather than, and I'm sure they had names, but they just called this region Decapolis, where these 10 little Roman villages grew up. All right, so then you'll look at verse 21. It says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." Now, this was probably either Tiberias or Caesarea, where the ship came to shore. And that's where we pick up the story in verse 25 that I want to speak to you from this morning. So if you look at verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus," notice that, "when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment." Now, that does not mean that the Associated Press and Reuters and all the rest of them were there covering the story. The press means the crowd of people that met him as he got off the boat. So she came up, she had heard about Jesus. Now let me stop right here and say that I don't think that this woman lived in the town where the Lord Jesus was when I'm reading this story. I think she was from another area, and she heard about Jesus, that miracle worker, that man that could heal the sick, and suffering like she had been suffering, with no place else to turn, she said, "I'm going to go see Jesus." And so she came, and there she is in the crowd, the Lord Jesus is surrounded by the press, by the crowd of people, and she works her way through the crowd and touches the hem of his garment. I think that's what happened. Now hang on to that because you're going to need it in a little bit. All right, so verse 27, let's read it again. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. And here's what she was thinking. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, that word means immediately, and immediately, straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see, what's the next word? Her. He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Folks, get that picture in your mind. That's amazing. Here is this mob of people. And this little gal forces her way from behind. He's walking this way. She forces her way, excuse me, through the crowd and gets up and just touches the hem of his robe. And he stops. And she starts working her way back to get out of there. And he looks around at all the crowd. He looked round about, which means he went this way. And looking at everyone until he looked square into the eyes of the lady that had touched him, and she knew she was found out. Wow. Who touched me? The disciples were amazed. They said, Lord, you've got hundreds of people that you've been walking through and walking with. They've all been reaching out to touch you. And you say, who touched me? They were astounded that he stopped to question. Look at verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, what was done in her? She was healed of her disease, yes. Came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Notice that. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, I want to speak to you this morning. Something just stood out here and it touched my heart. I wanted to touch yours. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, why Jesus called her out. Why did he call her out? Why did he stop, look over that crowd, turn around, and look her right in the eyes and bid her to come forward? Why did he do that? I want to give you three reasons why he did it. And it's really, it's astounding when you think about how many people he ministered to, how many people he healed, and yet in this situation, he stopped and he brought that woman forward in front of everybody. Now, let me also say this before I get to the message. She had an issue of blood. In other words, she had some menstrual problems. For 12 years, she's had a problem. She would have been considered unclean by the Jewish community. That's why I don't think that she was from this town. Had she been from this town, everybody in that town would have known that she was unclean, and she could have gotten in serious trouble coming among the people. I think she was from a neighboring town, a town across the mountain, a town down the other end of the sea. She was not from there. She sneaked in without anybody knowing who she was because of her need. And she reached up and she touched the hem of his garment, and he was healed, and he called her out. Pray together with me and in the message. Our Father, thank you so much for the Bible. Open our understanding this morning. Help us to clearly see our need of the Savior. Help us, Father, I pray, to have open hearts. And may the Word of God make a difference in our lives. Father, help us to realize that we need to serve you to a greater capacity. Help us to realize that we need to be faithful to you in all things. Help us to realize if there's someone here today and not sure they're saved, that the Savior can make them whole this morning. The Savior can save their soul and help them. So, Lord, just use the Word to make a difference, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the Lord Jesus was trying to make his way through this mob of people who met him as he got off the ship. And as he made his way through the crowd, a woman who had been suffering for 12 years with this menstrual issue and had suffered much from the doctors who had given her treatment and had advised her, and who had, by the way, drained her of her resources, reached out. This woman just reached out and simply touched the hem of our Lord's garment as he passed by. We learn from the text that her thought was, I don't need to do anything more than that. I don't need to be seen here. I don't even need to bother him. I don't need to stop him. I don't need to bother him at all. I will just touch the hem of his garment as he passes by, and that is all I need to do. I will be healed simply by touching his garment as he passes by. But the Lord did something that I want to point out to you. He stopped, he turned, and he called this woman out. "Who touched me?" he asked. And the disciples were shocked by that question. They said, "Lord, you have hundreds of people pressing upon you, and you stop to ask the question, 'Who touched me?'" Now, folks, was it not a little, just think about it, was it not a little unlike the Lord Jesus to insist on someone to come forward and admit that it was them? That was kind of putting her on the spot, don't you think? Why did he feel the need to single her out and make her confess in front of all these people? Remember now, he was God. He knew that she was in the crowd. He knew her problem. He knew that she was considered and deemed unclean by the rabbis in her synagogue. He knew all that. But yet, he forced her into coming clean and walking out in front of everybody and admitting that, yes, she had indeed touched him. She was already considered unclean, and no, you can be assured she did not want to be singled out and face the humiliation of sneaking into a situation that where she was not supposed to be. So it seemed a little strange to me when I read the story that our blessed Savior, who was always so kind and always so gentle with people, should single her out and shine the spotlight upon her. Would it not have been a kinder gesture on his part just to smile at her and then let her slip away? I mean, don't you think that it would have probably been just a little kinder had he just smiled at her? He knew what had happened. He knew her faith. He knew that he had healed her. He knew all about it. And don't you think that it might have been just a little kinder gesture had he just turned around at that moment, looked at her, and smiled? and then just let her go away, just let her slip out and go back home unnoticed? Why not just let her go on her way, rejoicing in the fact that she was now healed, even though nobody knew about it? I mean, after all, she had gotten what she came for. She came to see Jesus so he could heal her, and she got what she came for. So why not just let her slip away? She came hoping that he would touch her and heal her of this worsening sickness that, as time progressed, just kept getting worse, that had troubled her for the last 12 years of her life. So my question was, as I read this, well, Lord, why not just let her sneak away and go back home? I mean, after all, that's what the Lord did when he grew weary. We read all the time that he would sneak away from the crowds and go up in the mountain or get out in the desert and just get away from the crowds so that he could rest a little bit and so that he could enjoy a few moments of peace and a few moments of prayer with his Heavenly Father. And yet, he refused to let this woman sneak away. He called her to come out of the crowd. He took the spotlight and he shined it right down upon her. And as she moved, I can see it, just envision it in your mind, this mass of people, and the Lord turns and says, "Who touched me?" And then he looks right at her. And as he looks at her, she starts to move and the crowd parts and she inches her way until she is right before him at his feet and so thankful for what he had done. I mean, think about it. Every eye would have been upon her. Every person would have been looking at her. That which she had hoped for was soon flipped around so that she got the exact opposite of what she had hoped for. You can be assured, folks, she had no intentions of making a scene. She had no intentions of being seen. She just came and she thought, "I've got to get to Jesus." And she reached out and touched him as he walked by, thinking, "Oh man, this is it." And he did. He healed her. And then she walks back a little bit and all of a sudden all that's broken with Jesus saying, "Who touched me?" And there she freezes in her spot. She turns around and looks, and he's looking right at her. Amazing. And now here she comes, humbled, broken, and she's at his feet, just where he wanted her to be. Now the question is this: why was she treated this way by the Savior? It seems so difficult so different from the way that he normally treated people. Does it not? I mean, let's try to find some loving reasons why he treated her in this fashion. Why Jesus called her out. I want to give you three reasons this morning why he could have called her out. Number one, she would have carried several misconceptions with her to her grave had he not called her out. Now, just think about that for a moment. Had he not called her out, had he just let her slip away and go home, she would have carried several misconceptions with her to her grave. You see, once she got away, she would have started to think over what had just happened to her. And she probably would have come up with several scenarios as to how it happened that she got healed. She would have thought, "Wow, was it magic? Was it magic that is that the answer for why I was healed? Was it coincidence that I just happened to be at the right spot at the right time? Was it coincidence? Was it some kind of voodoo magic that was done to me? I mean, exactly how did this happen to me?" Folks, listen, Jesus couldn't just let her go. He had to call her out because she needed to know that it was the grace and the goodness of the loving Savior that had healed her. She had to know beyond shadow of doubt that it was the loving grace of the Savior that had touched her body and had healed her of her disease. If you look at verse 28, you will see that in her heart she thought, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Notice that. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She was not hoping to be made better. She was expecting to be made whole. And all she had to rest this faith on was what she had heard about Jesus. You see, folks, that's why I don't think that she lived in the area. I think she lived outside. This is another reason. I think that somebody had told her about this miracle worker. I think somebody had told her, you know, if you can just get to Jesus, all these doctors haven't been able to help you. They have drained your bank account. You're not getting any better. You're getting worse. But I've got a friend, and he said that his mother was sick, and they took her to Jesus, and he healed her. Maybe he will heal you. And out of desperation, she's got nothing else left. So she says, I'm going to go find Jesus. I'm going to go find him. And this happened early in our Lord's ministry. And she had probably never even seen the Lord until she saw him on that day. But she had heard about him. That's what the Bible says. And had faith that if he could help others, he could help her as well. I like that kind of faith, don't you? Man, that is some kind of faith. It was strong. It was definitive. It was resolute. It was so powerful that she had it in her mind that the Lord didn't even have to know that she was there in order for her to benefit from his ministry. It was so strong that she just thought, all I got to do is reach out my hand and touch his robe as he passes by in the midst of this throng of people. And if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed of my infirmity. Wow. So I think you can see why the Lord had to call her out, folks. I think you can see why the Lord had to stop and turn around and make eye contact with her and ask the question, who touched me? Who touched me? Because she had to know that she was healed by the loving and caring will of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not magic that had healed her. It was not voodoo that had healed her. It was the Lord Jesus making a conscious decision to extend his love and his grace to someone in need. And she had to know that. It was the Lord Jesus choosing to heal a needy soul. So he called her forth and he made her tell her story. He made her tell it so that she might be lifted out of the realm of magic and brought into the realm of a living relationship with God's Son. It might have seemed a little cruel to single her out in the midst of all those people and to put her on the spot. But when you think about it, it was really an act of kindness. For it sent her home with a complete understanding of who Jesus was. When she went home to tell her story to her friends and to her family, she would not tell some wildfire, mystical, harebrained, spooky story that would put doubt in the minds of her friends and family. She wouldn't have gone home, and when she walked in, everybody said, wow, look at you. What happened? She wouldn't have said, oh, you're not going to believe this, and tell some mystical thing where all her family was going, okay. No, she would not be doing that. She would not tell about the wonder of the tassel on his robe, but she would tell of the wonder of her Lord. World of difference, folks. For when she went home, she could tell them about Jesus. And that's why I'm saying to you that the Lord had to call her out. Let me say it this way. Instead of saying to her friends, I have found a cure, she could go home to her friends and say, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's all the world to me. World of difference. There's a second reason that he called her out. Secondly, I said first of all that he called her out because had he not, she would have carried several misconceptions to her grave. She would have gone around saying, you know, I'm just not sure how this happened. You mark my word, folks. Had she stolen away, got out of there, not had an exchange with Jesus, before she got home, the devil would have stolen that seed out of her heart. She'd have been confused. You just mark it down. That devil, the devil knows his business. But then secondly, she would never have been 100% sure about Jesus. She would have never been 100% sure about Jesus. She would have been haunted for the rest of her natural life, thinking that maybe something she had done was the wrong thing when she touched his garment as he passed by. I want you to notice that when the Savior summoned her, she came with fear and trembling. I don't think that it was fear of the crowd that caused her to inch her way to the feet of the Savior. I think it was probably something deep within her conscience that was jabbing at her and causing her fear. You say, well, Pastor, like what? I think it was a fear that maybe she thought she had stolen something from Jesus. Maybe when he called her out, she thought, oh no, I have taken something from him that I should not have taken, and now I'm in trouble. She thought she could take some of his healing power without anyone knowing anything about it. But somehow he knew, and now she was going to have to pay for her greed. And so when he singled her out, she came with fear and trembling. She is thinking, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Oh no, I took something from him I shouldn't have taken. I'm in trouble now. Now, folks, listen, suppose, just get the picture in your mind. Here she comes. She comes up behind him. She grabs the hem of his garment, and instantly she's healed. She turns it loose to make her escape. She's walking away, and Jesus stops and says, who touched me? She stops and looks at him. He looks her square in the eyes. She knows she's been found out. She could have at that moment turned and fled. She could have ran. But what does she do? In fear and trembling, she drops and she crawls over to his feet. Every eyeball in there is looking at her. Everybody is watching her every move. Now, suppose she had turned and ran away, and ran the whole way home. Suppose she didn't inch forward and confess that it was she who had touched him. She would have had to live the rest of her life haunted by the chilling fear that she had stolen something from him, and would have to wonder if there would ever come a day when she might have to answer for taking that which was not hers to take. Could Jesus let her go home with those thoughts in her mind? No way. No way. Now we see why he had to call her out. Folks, it was not him being unkind. It was him being kind. He knew that she had a life, and he did not want her to live the rest of her life thinking that she had done something wrong. Folks, it's never wrong to come to Jesus. Amen? Never wrong to come to Jesus. Could he let her go home with those thoughts in her mind? She would have been healed, but would she have been happy? I mean, if word came to her that Jesus was in her town or the town next to hers, she would not have wanted to go hear him or wanted to go see him. Her conscience would have said, I don't think you better go do that. You might be found out. He might not be mad at you for stealing your health, and you just may get into some kind of trouble. You probably should just stay home. And I'm telling you, folks, that it would have been impossible for Christ to let her leave with that in her mind. He would not have been satisfied with just knowing that she was healed. He would have wanted her to be happy. And that is, I think, why he insisted on her coming forward to confess that she had touched him. You see, folks, she had to tell him everything. And she had to hear him say to her after she did, look at verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter. That's a term of endearment. That's a term of love. That's a term of a caring heart. And I find it amazing that she is the only woman to whom he ever gave this title. He's the only one. You check the Gospels. You check Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. She's the only one that he ever called daughter. To learn it, she had to walk the path he asked her to walk. Who touched me? She looks up and he's looking at her. And in order for her to hear him say, daughter, she's got to walk a path over to his feet. Amazing, isn't it? And my dear friend, if you will get close to the feet of Jesus, if you want to learn of his love and learn of his grace, she would have missed all of that had she gotten away. Had she gotten out of there, she would have missed that, but she came crawling back. And my dear friend, if you want to learn of his love, and you want to learn of his grace, and you want to learn of his goodness, and you want to learn of his mercy, you too have to come to him and walk the way of Christ. You say, well, Pastor, how do you walk that? Here's a good way right here. Get in this book every day. This book is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Let me give you another good way. Come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night. I mean, come to church. There's some folks that don't know we have a Sunday night service, evidently. But we do. We have a Sunday night. We have a Wednesday night midweek prayer service. We go to church on Wednesday night because the disciples started going to church on Wednesday night because Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday. It's not Good Friday. How do you get 3 days and three nights out of that? You can't. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday. And for as far back as there is a record of church history, the disciples went to church on Wednesday night to celebrate the cross. And then they came back to church on Sunday to celebrate the resurrection. Some of y'all are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. You mean Jesus wasn't crucified on Friday? No. 3 days and three nights. How do you get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday? You don't. You say, well, wow, the world's got it wrong. Duh. Does that surprise you? They've got everything wrong. You say, well, we should get off on Wednesday instead of Friday. We should get off work on Wednesday instead of Friday. Let's get off Wednesday and Friday. How's that? My, my, my. You got to walk the way. And that's what she did. Then number three, I got to hurry. Number three, I said first of all that she would have carried several misconceptions with her to her grave. I said, secondly, she would have never been sure, 100% sure, that it was Jesus who healed her. She would have never been sure, but boy, she knew when he smiled at her and called her daughter. Oh my, that touched her heart. And then thirdly, she would have been powerless for service had she run away. She would have been powerless for service. You see, folks, had he not called her out and caused her to step up and admit what she had done, she would have went home and would have been powerless for any type of service to Christ. You see, nobody is healed just to be happy. I'm going to let that sink into you. Let me say it this way. We don't get saved just to be saved. We get saved so that we can serve. If the only reason we were healed of the disease of sin was to make us happy, we should just die seconds after we believe in the Lord so that we can go with Him to be in heaven. If the only reason He saved us was for us, then just take us on to be with Him the moment we get saved. But He doesn't do that. He leaves us here. Why? So we'll serve Him. You see, we are saved, Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 53, by His stripes we are healed. Our spiritual disease. We are saved so we can serve the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? You go tell others that the Lord healed you and that He can heal them too. That's how you do it. I can imagine she went back to her family and she said to them when she came bursting through the door, wow, let me tell you what happened. And she told them about Jesus. Can you imagine? She comes in the door of her house and her family looks over and says, what's wrong with you? Do you think she went in there all discouraged and depressed? Do you think she went in there with long face and shoulders slumped over? No, she went through the door excited. She went through the door thrilled and told them about meeting the Lord Jesus. And when the entire family saw what He did for her, they too, no doubt, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing. When back before I got saved, my mother would take us to church on Sunday morning, and then we were done. That was it. Sunday morning, we that was it. We didn't even think about coming back on Sunday night. Never even crossed our minds. And then I got saved. And once I got saved, I asked one of the young people that after church, I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "Y'all have church on Sunday night?" And he said, "Oh yeah, we have church on Sunday night." And I said, "Oh, what do you do?" He said, "Well, basically the same thing." He said, "We learn the Bible." I said, "Oh. Well, I need to learn the Bible." So I started going on Sunday night. And when I started going to church on Sunday night, the rest of my family came with me. I remember going, sitting around the dinner table that Sunday and saying, "We need to go back to church tonight." And my mom said, "Yeah, that's a good idea." And we all started going on Sunday night. And then my dad got saved about a month later. And when my dad got saved, all of a sudden, we were coming out on Wednesday night. Shock. My friends at school said, "Where were you last night, church? Have you lost your mind?" I said, "No, I found it." Amen. I found my mind. Church will do something for you, folks. I mean, it'll help you grow. And you can imagine that the influence that this woman had when she came in and told them about Jesus. Folks, I'm saying to you that He had to call her out so she would have a testimony that she could share with others. Think of this, folks. After this happened, in just a few short years, the Lord Jesus was going to be crucified. I got a question for you. Once crucified, what would become of those garments He was wearing? Huh? The Bible tells us that once He was crucified, that the Roman soldiers took His garments. And you'll remember that what she touched was that garment as He passed by. And in just a couple of years, they stripped that garment off of Him, and the Roman soldiers cast lots to see who would get it. I wonder which Roman soldier now had that garment in his closet. And the garments were soon gone. And the one wearing them had been crucified on the cross of Calvary. So folks, what a testimony she now has. She can say, and everybody knew about Jesus by then. Everybody knew. It was Passover. Everybody and his dog was in Jerusalem to see what was going on. And they saw the Lord Jesus being crucified. They saw that Roman soldier take that garment and steal it away. And she could stand there with tears running down her face and say, "See that man? That man is the Savior. I know he is because of what he did for me." She's got a testimony now. And you see, it was not the garment that did it. It was the Savior that did it. So what a testimony she had to tell others. What if he had not called her out? She wouldn't have nothing to say. She would have gone home confused. She would have gone home. She would have been healed. He had already healed her. And she would have walked in and she would have said, "Well, everybody, I'm healed." How'd that happen? "I don't know. I have no idea. I just know I'm healed." But when she walked in, they could see it in her face. You know, you can just see when somebody knows the Lord, can't you? I don't know how many times people have walked up to me and said, you're a Christian, aren't you?" I say, "Yeah, I am." And I look into their eyes, I say, "You are too, aren't you?" Their spirit identifies with my spirit. Yeah, you can tell. It's a shame when you can't tell. She could never have spoken, and she would have had no testimony at all. She would have had no power to tell others, plagued by disease and disappointment. None. None. She could never have looked into the forlorn face of another disease-riddled soul and say to them, "You know, the Master looked on me one time and even called me daughter. He healed me and he loved me, even though I was an unclean woman with an issue of blood. But I trusted him and he healed me. And I bet you if you trust him, he'll heal you too." She would have never been able to do that had he not called her out. And I think Jesus was so eager that she be a witness bearer, he had to call her out. You see, folks, that's all the Lord wants is just those of us that have been spiritually healed to go tell somebody else where the healing is available. That's all he wants. He just wants you and me to serve him. And I think the Lord was so anxious to have someone to serve him that that's why he called her out. You see, she might have crossed paths with people whom he would never meet in this life. And he wanted to make sure that when she told the story, she could tell it with conviction and persuasion. She would never go tell her story and talk of magic or of voodoo or tell it in some mystical, spooky fashion. She would never do that. She would always talk about Jesus and the truth. She would tell of the tenderness he showed her. She would tell of the love that flowed from his eyes into her eyes and then which streamed down into her heart. Oh, for sure, had she sneaked away, she would have had her gift of being healed, but she would never have known the giver of that gift. And for sure, she had to stand forth and confess so that she would know who he was. Why did he have to call her out? Well, folks, when you stop and think about it, what he did here to her is no different than what he did for you and for me who know him as Savior. That's what the church is. It's the called out assembly. the called out assembly. Called out of what? Same thing she was called out of. The world. The world. We're a called out assembly. Man, I'm glad the Lord one day reached down and healed my diseases. I'm talking about that sin disease that had me bound for hell. I'm glad the Lord reached down into the pit one day and lifted me out and set me upon the solid rock. And you know, I've been saved now for 42 years. I'm not over it yet. You shouldn't get over getting saved either. When someone says, "What's your story?" Let me tell you my story. "What's your deal?" Let me tell you my deal. I was lost and undone, but now I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And that's all the Lord wants, is just somebody that will say, "I can tell that story. I can tell somebody else what Jesus did for me." You know, I think if we just would dedicate ourselves to serving the Lord, there's no telling what God could do.